we got the idea to wear black armbands to protest the war back in late 1965. And when the school found out that we were going to wear the armbands, they prohibited armbands in the schools. And we wore them anyway, and we got kicked out of school. So we sued the school administration in the federal district court for a violation of our First Amendment free speech right. That got us started in the courts. We lost at the district court level. The appellate court was split, and so they didn't reach a decision. And then we appealed to the Supreme Court, and they agreed to hear it. And we won there 7-2, so it was a pretty good victory then.
And so you call yourself a political activist, a peace activist, and it almost seems like by default you became a First Amendment activist as well.
Well, I'm a peace activist. I think of myself that way because it's a lifelong trajectory in thinking of the human experience on this planet and what we need. And my relationship to it, my life, I just think that peace is probably the number one thing that the human race needs to figure out right now. And that's really what caused us to wear the armbands, was the human feeling for the suffering that was being experienced in the war. Since then, I mean, we use the First Amendment to make our protest, and I believe in the First Amendment. I really believe that communication and sharing ideas, debating, is really essential to a democratic society, and I'm in favor of having a democratic society. I'm just a believer. I grew up in the public school system in this country, and I guess I'm patriotic about it. I believe in it, and I think that we need to facilitate the discussion. No matter what people say, we need to learn to listen, and they need to learn to listen too. We all need to learn to listen.
You mentioned that your dad was a minister. You were talking about these things with friends at a Unitarian church. What role did religion play in all of this?
Well, I'm not really, I don't think of myself as an especially religious person, but my parents were. My worldview was really formed in that environment, with parents that did associate peace with religion. I mean, peace on earth, goodwill to people. We sing it every Christmas. I think of it more as a humanism, sensitivity to suffering. And I think my view is that it's perfectly fine to base a philosophy just on that feeling. It's by itself. That it's not a worked-out theology, it's not a worked-out philosophy, but it's more just a feeling that people need to be nicer to each other and to not kill each other so much. I still think that just a simple position, less war, makes a lot of sense.
Back in 1965, when you were just a teenager, wearing the black armband in protest of the Vietnam War and the deaths, and also to support Robert Kennedy's idea for a Christmas truce, did you have any idea at all that this would lead to a court case? And then even after it did you realize that court case was going to be so monumental?
No, I can't say that we had that kind of foresight. We were really focused on trying to publicize the war, trying to stimulate the public conversation about the war. We had no idea that it was going to turn into a court case at all. Actually, we thought we would just wear the armbands and that would be it. But by kicking us out of school, the school administration really, I mean, we brought the suit, but we wouldn't have brought it if we wouldn't have been kicked out of school. And then after we won, we didn't really understand that it would become the lead precedent for First Amendment rights in the schools. So it's really been an honor to have been associated with it, with the case.
And you say the First Amendment is, if not the most important, one of the most important.
The ability to share ideas and to communicate is really fundamental to the concept of a democracy. You don't have a democracy if people don't know what other people have to say. And so in my little paradigm of political society here, I think the ability to share ideas is very fundamental.
And so you mentioned during your talk the Supreme Court decision regarding Citizens United and political action committees. So explain your take on the idea here, you know, that money talks and it should be allowed to do so and it's a basic right.
Money is not speech. Money might share certain characteristics of speech, but I think it's important that we be able to distinguish between money and speech, just like it's important that we be able to distinguish between a person and a corporation. But if I go to the public meeting and I stand up and with my voice tell everyone my opinion, and then the next person stands up and they've got a great big powerful audio amplifier and they blast the whole room and you can hear it for blocks around, it's really not an equal playing field. And speech is about conveying an idea. Now, it's true the press is about publishing that idea and spreading it around, but money is about causing people to do things and causing people to want to do things to get your money. And if I've got a political campaign and I manage to call into a talk show or something, that's a certain amount of exposure. But if I've got millions of dollars and I can buy advertising, unlimited advertising, I can broadcast a message so loud and spread it so wide that any little message, other message, won't be heard, even if it was a very good message. And so getting speech back to the level of ideas rather than just the volume control on the amplifier, I think is what it's all about politically.
What can people do to protect their freedom of speech? What should they be doing?
Well, I think it's when people feel that their freedom of speech has been violated, I think it's important to make note of it, to bring it up, to complain about it. Do your best to persuade whoever is trying to keep you from talking, to persuade them that you need to be able to talk, and they need you to be able to talk. It's the person benefiting from speech is not just the person speaking, but the person who listens also hopefully benefits from having a society where people are able to speak instead of bringing arguments to blows, for example, or weapons, which we don't want. So speech really is the answer if it's treated with respect.
What do you hope is the legacy?
I hope the legacy of our case is to establish that freedom of speech is crucial to a democratic society. And our case took place within the context of the public school system. If you read the case, though, the comments that Abe Fortas makes about freedom of speech applies equally to the whole of civil society. And it's important that we be able to speak, that we be able to have the conversation, and that people be able to sit still even when they're uncomfortable to hear something be said. They still need to be able to hear it, and then they need to answer it with their own words.